That's a lot of fucking people playing games, like having a problem with something going on.
I don't know what this is, but I want to open it.
He did what? You did what?
It kind of reminds me of Pop Rocks, but they don't pop, and it's in a stick.
It kind of makes you jaded towards everything, and you end up hating The Last of Us.
What did you fucking say?
Welcome to Strength Cast.
Welcome
Cut.
To...
Cut.
Dick. This is Best of Volume 1. I'm here today, Samson Lancaster, with Salvador Madrigal.
We're going to be kicking them old jams, old school style, all night, all day.
Yeah.
Shorty balls.
And we've actually done 40 episodes so far. It's been a lot. I know it's a nice round number. It's not 50 or 100, but...
Yeah, you know what they say, 30 is the new 40.
But we've covered a lot. I mean, we're talking... We've recorded probably over 80 hours.
Yeah.
That's just what we released.
You guys hear.
Yeah. That's just the shit that we released.
Hundreds of hours of stuff that's... We'd probably go to jail if we aired that anywhere.
And we've been doing it for almost two... it'll be 2 years in September. So, like, almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. But...
And we still get no respect.
And we still get no respect. I don't get no respect. But yeah, so like, I mean, each recording session probably takes 6 hours, maybe? Like, not of actual recording, but like just the whole session, like when everybody gets here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And sometimes I even record that shit, dude. Sometimes I even record the audio.
Yeah, there's about a bunch of audio of it just farting and burping. That's going to be like the super mix.
And so, I mean, if you think about it, if it's let's round it down, say, to 5 recorded. That's 5 times 40. Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's, 200 hours? Easy.
It's almost as much as I've been playing Monster Hunter.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's actually a good comparison. Think of it in hours of gameplay. We've got at least 200 hours of actual record, actual audio files of us talking about games and being assholes to each other. And one of the reasons why I think we do this podcast is it's just so much fun, and we just like hanging out, and we do like to entertain. Or at least I like to entertain. I know,
and I'm most sure of the times with the
Bubba does
holy thong that you use. You need to get that replaced.
Yeah, I do need some new thongs. My thongs are a little outdated.
Thong.
But you know, I'm not gonna lie. Over the last maybe few weeks, I was just getting kind of like stale with the whole strength cast thing. I was you know, just like trying to remember why I did it, you know, because I tried to push us too hard and do 2 episodes in a session and try to release weekly.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't working out, I don't think, and then I got a little burnt out. But that's why I think that's why we're doing this episode right now, is because I wanted to remember why we were recording. And that's what this episode's all about. Some of the best stuff that you have heard, that we have heard. Either the stuff that's just the funniest or the stupidest.
Primarily a lot of the stupidest.
A lot of the stupidest.
Let's face it, we're not that good.
You know, some of the stuff that was just really, you know, really, really cool for us, really fun for us. So,
The first one up is which one was it? Sam, was it the whole tofu boyfriend?
Tofu boyfriend. God. So
yeah, yeah. Listen to this. This is an actual game. And
it's an actual game.
It's still mind boggling to me.
And Sal kind of caught us and took us in left field with this one. We were like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, dude, Japan.
What the. So yeah, this is Hot Tofu Boyfriend and
Mystery Taylor, and enjoy it. When we come back, we'll discuss it a little bit more.
Dying to tell you guys.
So Sal, what is this mystery trailer?
It's called Hot Tofu Boyfriend.
What the fuck?
Hot Tofu Boyfriend. H-A-T-O-F-U-L Boyfriend. This is a pigeon dating sim from the great Japan.
What the fuck is a pigeon dating?
You're a pigeon, you're trying to date pigeons.
So this is like, this is like that goat simulator thing?
No, pigeon this goat? Is a pigeon dating sim.
You never seen Goat Simulator?
No, I know what Goat Simulator is. DVD, you run around as a goat and it's
this
funny.
Is apparently a dating sim
this is a
for
dating
pigeons.
Sim. Okay, there's a pigeon on the screen. Pigeons. And there's dialogue boxes. Okay, you're a pigeon on the screen, and there's dialogue boxes.
Can they talk?
I don't know. I never played the game. I just found the trailer, and I saw a bunch of people like playing games. I think Jaya Bomb did a Let's Take a Look or whatever the crap is called, Quick Look.
All right, so let's state that one once again.
Hot Tofu Boyfriend.
How tofu?
H A T O F U L.
A Hot Tofu Boyfriend.
Yep. Should we be looking at for look the trailer?
Up the look up the trailer. The trailer is fairly funny. And if you want to look more into it, look up one of the Let's Play
from the ship.
Giant Bomb or IGN. I think Rev3 Games also did it. But this game was fucking bananas, dude. Hot Tofu Boyfriend, dude. All pigeon right. Dating sim.
We will be back after the break. I don't know what's going to happen now. All right, that was interesting, Sal.
Interesting, that's fucked up.
What the fuck is that shit?
What the fuck did I just watch?
It's you're a chick, a bird.
Or a dude.
Well, he was saying that you were a chick.
And then he made an insinuation, or it could be something else.
Oh, I missed it.
Hot tofu means it's a play on words, so.
What does hot tofu mean?
I don't know. Let's look it up. Let's see what the good old urban chictionary
says. So we watched, not only did we watch the trailer, which was interesting because it was a fucking pigeon.
Doing a live stream
of this Hot Tofu Boyfriend, which takes place at St. Pigeon Nation's.
Wait, are we back?
Yeah, we're back.
Yeah, we're doing it live.
Fuck it, we're doing it live. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
But yeah, keep on explaining why I look up where the hot tofu is.
So, he was streaming the game, and that was the trailer, which was pretty funny. And then we watched a Giant Bomb doing part of a Quick Look, because let's face it, Quick Look for Giant Bomb is like a
four
few
hours
or something.
But it
was weird. I didn't understand. It was bad enough to play a Japanese dating sim, and I'm glad that you picked this one, Sal, because this really works with the shit we were talking about.
Yeah, dude, it fits in perfectly.
But it's for birds, but not for birds. You just are a bird. It's some weird feather fetish thing, potentially gay feather fetish. I don't...
Well, there's that one whole nut genre of all the bad stuff, you know? I'm gonna bury my nut in you.
Oh, no.
The
fuck? He's talking about nutting. We don't need to get back into
that.
Yeah,
there's enough chili dogs in the world. We don't need to get into that shit.
So, I did like that there was an option for the quote-unquote human portrait, which was really weird. It didn't make a whole lot of sense. I guess it was when they introduced one of the birds to you, you got to see their human form or something. And so, like, the feathered tail, the fantail dove or whatever was like a Bishonen. And the mourning dove was like a green-haired goth, like emo kid or something, because he was mourning.
Yeah, the anime-style goth-looking character.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was all... Let's be clear. This is a Japanese dating sim. Everybody's an anime character, except for the birds.
These are just pictures of fucking birds. These are pictures of real birds. They're not animated. They're not drawn. They're pictures of real birds.
I wonder if they were Japanese birds, though.
The pigeon and the doves and shit, those fuckers are everywhere. Not just Japan.
So, yeah, well, yeah, I know. But I'm wondering if those were actual bird pictures taken from Japan.
But it's not like everybody in Japan looks like anime characters.
They don't? I thought that's what happened when you go to Japan. Even if you're not Japanese, you just land and come out as an anime.
And depending on the mood, like if it's playful and childish, you're chibi, and if it's serious, you're anime, and if you're, you know...
Yeah, you could be like Vampire Hunter styles or whatever.
If you're getting down to business, it's hentai and there's tentacles, and your shit's censored for some reason. I don't understand. It's a dating sim with birds.
Here's what Hatofu means.
Hato as in H-A-T-O, fool. So Hatofu.
It's a cross between the Japanese word for pigeon and heartful. So Hatofu.
Heartful pigeon?
I don't get it. There's some fucker in Japan with a bird fetish, I think is what's going on here.
Probably more than one.
Yeah, well, there's probably people with bird fetishes all over the place. I only single out Japan because this is a Japanese dating sim.
Yeah, it was apparently based off of some game called Morningstar that was released in Japan.
Which is another dating sim?
It's pretty much the same dating sim or something. They just updated the graphics.
To be pigeons.
Yeah, that's what the guy from Giant Bomb was trying to explain, but kind of missed the mark.
Yeah. I think that it needed to be any explaining. I think you just needed to play.
Yeah, but...
I think we need to download this game and play it, actually.
Dude, I don't know if I can sit through that shit. Yeah, it's on Steam.
No, he downloaded it from some Chinese underground torrent site.
No, it's available on Steam.
Oh, Jesus.
You said it was on Steam, yeah. There's like three different sources you referenced. I would like to see, because I'm curious if there's any cocks in that game. By that, I mean roosters.
I was waiting for bird penis. Why was there no bird penis?
Gotta probably get... Again, that was probably just the intro, so you gotta probably get further in.
Yeah.
And we're back. So that was a Hatofu boyfriend.
Dude, that was one of the best mystery trailers ever of everything.
One of the weirdest fucking games I've ever seen.
I gotta say it was probably the best mystery trailer that we've ever had so far. I mean, I liked it so much that I put it in the commercial that we run on Off the Rails podcast.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because it's like, she's like, do you like... pigeon dating simulators.
Oh, that's Camille Sapuga.
Yeah. Camille Sapuga, which we'll get to later. The origin of Camille Sapuga. Mm-hmm. That'll be a little bit later. But yeah, I was like, dude, pigeon dating simulator. That's
pigeon dating simulator.
The weirdest thing ever. And I believe in that commercial where we're like, I had her say something like, they play, you know, these games so you don't have to. But That was funny, dude. Yeah. I mean, like, I think the best part about it was that we were so caught off guard. And Mo's little joke at the end was a pretty good punch there. Is there some cock? I was waiting for the cock. But yeah, that was good times. It was hard to top mystery trailers after that, I think. However...
Yeah, it's kind of like you burn out on it. Like you go to the most pinnacle of fucking weirdness.
Yeah.
Where do you go from there, dude?
That was one of the peaks. However, Hatofu Boyfriend was on episode 24, just for those that are listening that they want to, you know, maybe they want to check that out. This particular mystery trailer, we happen to have another mystery trailer bit on here, but... It's a little bit, it was one of Bubba's.
Yeah, it's always funny when old people lose their fucking mind. Dude, the Alzheimer's just really fucking kicks in. You're like,
huh? Yeah, so why don't you guys just give a listen to Bubba introducing the Danga.
Danga
Dangon Wrestling. Yeah. So we'll be just listen.
Yeah. Bear in mind, he's like 100 years old.
Yeah. You gotta. Where if somebody else gets murdered, you have to figure out who did the murdering.
There is
you
can accuse them. There is a full on trial that takes place. Now the reason why I mention this is you have Danganronpa and you have the WWE, right? Which they seem worlds apart, right? What if some enterprising youngster went out and mashed the two together? So, our top secret preview of the week. What the
mystery trailer.
The Alzheimer's got you. Called Dangan Wrestling.
And
it can be found on YouTube. This guy basically took the concept of Danganronpa and mixed it with current characters and storylines from WWE. He reenacted it with the story creator in WWE 2K14 and saved it to YouTube to hilarious results. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to look at the trailer for this, which is about 3 or 4 minutes long. There are about 7 or 8 episodes of this at about 22 plus minutes an episode. I've kind of watched 6 or 7 episodes of this.
Wait, so is it a video game?
It is not. Okay. It is a
So that was video Bubba that forgetting the name of the mystery trailer segment.
Dude, the look on his face, so I remember that. It was like he was trying his hardest. You could see the hamster like fucking running the fastest he could, and it was not going to make it.
So that was episode 37.
Bubba has a brain fart.
The 37th time that a mystery trailer was introduced, Bubba forgot the fucking name of the segment, Mystery Trailer. Bubba, just to let you know, it's called a mystery trailer.
Super secret.
The top secret preview of the week. He sounded like he was having a stroke. A little bit. But that was really amusing for us because Bubba is like the ancient, the old man, the experienced old man, the wise old man, and he rarely fucks things up like that. And he was probably a bit wasted at the time. we do drink a lot when we do this podcast.
Say we drink like fishes is to say. Not that much,
but that's where some of the magic happens, man. You gotta have.
Yeah, be drunk. Yeah, it's the lubricant that moves the wheels of this podcast.
Yeah, it's definitely not research or anything like that.
Yeah, but fuck research, dude.
Well,
we consider ourselves more of a religion. No actual facts, all belief. If you believe it, so.
Yeah. This next one is probably one of my favorites. It comes from episode 12. And I don't want to ruin the actual flub. So what I'll say is that I was in talking about Eve on the podcast for the first time, about playing Eve for the first time, and how amazed at it that I was, and which is funny because I've recently started playing Eve again. Sal, he put his 2 cents in on my playing Eve and
talking about
Ponzi schemes and other scamming that's legal in the game. So why don't you listen to this next little clip here, and we'll be
right back. And all of his bigger clients, mm-hmm. he made sure to pay them back
right.
with the little guys' money. He was right. screwing the little guys, taking their money and paying it to the big guys. And then, at a certain point, after he built up a ton of fucking money, I think it was like 70 or 700. It was a 7. It was either 70 or 700 billion ISK, which is thousands of dollars in real money, technically speaking.
Yeah.
Right. And he walked away with it. He just said, peace out.
Marty, this is like Marty made Madoff or whatever the fuck this is.
Oh my god, that's terrible. I think I have a new favorite. I have a new favorite Sal. That is better than Arkham Oranges. That's better than
Marty Madoff. He was close. He got the last name right.
I was going to ask you, did you
think Weekend at Bernie's?
Oh my god. So.
Bernie Madoff. Okay.
You're trying to kill me. This, these Ponzi schemes and these scams, like, are you looking into them so, like, you can avoid getting taken?
Yes.
Or do you want to, like,
well,
are you looking to get your grift on? What's going on?
No, here's the thing. Since most people, except for noobs, are aware of things like that, it's really hard to do a big, pull off a big scheme like that. Mm-hmm. However, on the lower end, one thing that I have been doing is in the newbie area, the starting area where you start, you can sell shit for a lot higher because the noobs are scared to go into the other places.
Right.
Which yes. I'm fine
fresh
with.
Fresh meat.
No, yeah. Yes, exactly. So when I go out ratting, I kill a bunch of pirates, I run a bunch of missions, and if it's a big battle, I'll come back with the salvager and salvage the wrecks, you know, in addition to the loot that I've already gotten. Come back with a ton of shit to sell. I don't sell it at the station that I'm currently at. Right. I take it all back home. I store it there temporarily in this station in, like, lower security. It's still high sec. Like, instead of one, it's like 0.7 instead of one. And then I'll take all that and truck it back to the Imperial Academy, the 1.0, whatever, the space where the newbies start, and I'll sell it there for a lot more.
Yeah.
So that is kind of scamming. I mean, really, it's just, it's not as much.
It's your enterprise.
That's supply and demand.
Yeah, that's supply and demand.
It's law of the... This is the... Hey, yeah. Man, it's law of the jungle, man.
Capitalism.
That's right. Capitalism at work. So anyway, their space made off. Pulling off a big... So anyway,
Guardian of the Galaxy,
Marty Beatoff, or whatever you're calling him, whatever it was, a Sal said.
Marty. So
I'm super stoked. Of all of us, I think I'm the most stoked that you started playing.
He's
it.
The only
because
one.
We've been taught.
Yeah. So Marty Beatoff was the name of that one from episode episode 12. That was a fun episode. We had Nate Bit on that episode, and I think that was one of the episodes where Sal flubbed a lot of stuff. That being one of the most funny bits in the beginning of that episode there. But and Nate, I think Nate was calling you on shit too.
Yeah, dude.
Later on.
They're trying to help a Mexican out.
Yeah.
Throwing them in the bus, dude.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, like that's another thing that's kind of funny is like 90% of the podcast is Mexican. Technically, I mean, I'm some kind of Rican, but even my mom will say that she's Mexican.
Retard Rican.
But still on episode 12, and we may have mentioned it. We mentioned a little bit earlier, Camille Sapugo. Now, if you can figure out what that means right now, then that's awesome. But we're gonna let you listen to it to try to figure it out. But Sal, it was pretty awesome. So
I plead the fifth. I think I was drunk at that time.
Yeah, we did. That's not an excuse. We're always drunk. So this will be Camille Sapugo.
I
can't
remember. I want to hear you read this.
Mamoru. Oh my god, what the fuck is this guy's name?
Samuragach.
He was one of the, I think it was for part two, right?
He was composed in part one and I believe also part two.
Yeah, and he...
Of Resident Evil.
Everybody was touting him, the Beethoven of the gaming industry, making music. And it turns out he didn't write his own music. Took it from somebody else. And further down the rabbit hole, he also says, oh, I guess, by the way, I'm not fucking deaf.
So he had a backup. I mean, he did, people believed he was deaf. That was his whole thing.
Yeah, his whole thing was he's deaf and he was making...
But then the real composer called him out and said that. That's not true.
The actual composer. Yeah.
The guy who actually wrote it was actually like a part-time music teacher who said, like, yeah, I'm the ghost composer of Resident Evil. And he did another real high-profile game also, I think.
Can you imagine like him just being in the studio and everyone's like, can we come
compose ghosts as well?
Don't come in.
Onimusha.
Onimusha, yeah.
I'm busy. Yeah.
And it turns out he's not deaf. and he didn't write any of that shit.
But I mean, he was not just a game composer as well, though. He also wrote scores for like films and television in Japan as well.
Was he not?
What's horrible is he's apparently a good outsourcer. Yeah, yeah. He was stealing it from the Mexicans, like most people do. But his the guy who was ghostwriting all that shit came out and called him out. And the reason he said he didn't call him out for such a long time is because this guy was threatening to kill himself if he came out.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? Fuck you. I'm going to Camille Sapugu and you're going to have to deal with the fallout of me killing myself.
What did I tell you,
that's,
right?
Yeah, that's bananas.
Well, Sapugu.
That story.
He's going to Camille Sapugu. That's totally what I heard.
That's what Mexicans do.
Yeah.
What does Camille have to do with any of this? I don't understand.
It's a weird story.
Bill Cosby's ex-wife, I think.
It's a weird story, though. I mean, totally. Imagine somebody who's famous for being a composer. And then, like, all of a sudden, it would be like in this country, imagine if, like, John Williams was, like, everybody thought he was deaf, and he composed, like, all these film scores, and then you found out, oops, he's not deaf, and by the way, that was all done by somebody
else.
That was all done by Yo-Yo Ma.
Kill myself.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's messed up.
Yeah, and he's catching a lot of fallout. I'm waiting for that guy to hang himself.
That's what
all those these guys that have been getting captured and shit. And they gotta follow through, dude. If you're gonna say you're gonna do this shit, do it.
Oh my god!
Fucking do it. Save your face. Save your honor. Kill yourself, you fucking asshole.
Hide your kids and hide your wife.
They're raping everybody up in here.
Save your armor on a brighter note. That was pretty bleak, that story, but. There's good news. There's a new Sonic game on the way.
So Camille Sapugu, huh?
Yeah.
She's a great lady. Great lady.
I mean, first of all, it's Sapugu.
Hattie Kitty.
Secondly, commit turning into Camille was a pretty good transition, I think.
According to Andrew, they don't exist.
Well,
that was Camille Sapugu. The next one was one of the fucking greatest ones ever.
Yeah, one of the great. So Camille Sapugu was also on episode 12, but the next one
involves a McDonald character, a beloved McDonald character,
a big purple thing.
Yeah, a big purple thing. And I'm pretty sure Andrew grew up eating nothing but McDonald's, dude, just because he still eats the chicken McNuggets, even though they're two fucking mashed up anuses and stuff. He got to have known who this guy was, and he just, he pretends that he doesn't, but he knows.
Yeah, so.
Like his crying game.
And then right after that clip, there's a little,
enjoy the clip after the drum.
The Grummus, as we call it so dearly, the Grummus was the one of the funniest episodes. So I songified a few bits of it, a few of the best bits of it, I think. So yeah, you're gonna
probably better than most rap fucking albums out there.
So yeah, we'll be here. Here is the Grummus.
It was a Chuck E. Cheese. Captain Andy's was a Chuck E. Cheese, but they didn't have pizza. They had like burgers and fries and shit. But I used to go there to play. I used to go there to play. Well, they had animatronic characters and goofy shit and a bunch of video games. I used to go there and play like Dragon's Lair and Space Ace.
Oh, they had arcades there?
Yeah, they had a huge ass arcade, and I used to play Mario Brothers, and I used to play Nintendo Popeye, like, non-stop.
There was a McDonald's that had like a electronic Grummus and hamburger.
Grummus?
This is about to become a new regular thing on the street cast. A what?
A Grummus? Isn't it a Grummus?
What? Grimace. What did you say?
Calm down, Mayor McCheese, dude. I got the name wrong.
What did you fucking say?
The big purple thing, guy.
A Grummus.
That's so, like a Grundle, but not really.
That's the Grimace's Grundle.
Yeah, it's the Grimace's Grundle.
The Grummus. Yes. That patch of purple fur.
Carl has no idea what's going on right now.
What is happening?
Yeah, McDonald's out and where the fuck.
Grimace. Grimace.
Grimace.
This is Grimace, dude. It's called, his name was Grimace.
Yeah.
His name
was Grimace. I have him on a slammer somewhere.
His name was not Grimace.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Sal can say whatever the fuck he wants and only gets a little shit. Y'all just cracking
the fuck. What are you talking about? I get fucking shit on my fucking...
Yeah, we shit on Sal all
the time. His shit gets tweeted on Facebook.
My hot Guatemalanist gets fucking...
His shit gets turned into memes, dog. Come on.
Yeah, so... So Five Nights at Freddy's, if you are a fan
watch
of
out
being,
for the grummets.
If you're a fan grummets. Of being scared,
yeah, if it's not, the or, grummets ain't clean, the fucking go down there.
Yeah. Right? If you're a fan of being scared, or you think Chuck E. Cheese is creepy, or you don't like the grummets,
if play Five Nights at Freddy's. A fear of animatronic things, this will probably scare you shitless.
Dude, I just think like that, that's an actual phobia.
No, it is. Yeah, just like being afraid of clowns. That shit's. That shit would scare someone that, you know...
I think that everyone should have a healthy fear of clowns, but that's just me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We all float down here.
Everybody. that movie still fucks me. I'm a grown man. And I can't get through all that. Of course, it's like 9 hours long, too, which just doesn't help.
Yeah, well, that was a trailer.
That was a mystery trailer. I'm glad you guys had a good time talking about Grummets.
Even though they're animatronic and stuff and the things like that, it's also very...
I think... It would be way better, and this is just my opinion, it would be way better if it was like Night Trap. I.e., it was filmed like Night Trap was, and then done with, you know, programs so that it worked similarly, and so that you have people actually, like, in suits acting like these animatronic things, so they look like actual animatronic things instead of the animated look. I think that would make it much more terrifying.
Dude, I think they have shit like that. It's called
Do you mean kind of like Mortal Kombat?
It's a furry snuff film.
Do you never play Night Trap?
I've never played Night Trap.
So Night Trap essentially...
He's way too young.
Night Trap was a Sega CD game where you had like these hot college co-eds that were getting attacked by these like spec ops.
So that was Grimace's Grimace playing Coachella.
That fool, he had to, like you said earlier.
He knew who Mayor McCheese was and the hamburger, but he didn't know the Grimace. Come on.
I mean, to be fair, it's not that far off, but it is fucking hilarious. What did you fucking say?
Hope you enjoyed the Songify. The bits at the end, that was pretty funny.
And Bubba was right. This became a new thing on StrengthCast. We you'll probably hear Grimace mentioned throughout the following like several episodes.
Yeah, that was the greatest.
It was epic. And that a Songify was actually a hidden track on the next episode.
Yeah.
So the Grimace was on episode 23, by the way. But yeah, that was
That was good, but it wasn't as good as you're trying to D3 bro rape me. That was on episode 40. Yeah.
Episode 40, which was the last episode, actually the most recent episode before the recording of this. Yeah, there was a nice little segue to some Diablo news that didn't go so well.
I'm still
or it went really well. Maybe I don't know. Maybe that was the intention the whole time.
I blocked it out.
So this next bit here is Diablo 3.
There's plenty of non-sports shit that they have on those channels. It's,
yeah,
you know, it's
But it's good. It's like you say. It's good exposure for esports. I think it's good for things.
VGHS, motherfucker. It's gonna be fucking like video game high school in the future, and I will send my kids to said high school for whatever it costs. Hey, Sal.
Huh?
You saw something on Battle.net or Diablo?
What?
You watch? Jesus Christ! You watched that dude fucking level up.
Oh, that was
the more things change, the more they stay the same. I'm so glad I could come back to this podcast.
That was a messed up segue, though. You watched the Diablo? I thought he was trying to rape me, dude. Why is he trying to fucking bro rape me, bro? I'm scared and confused.
He did what?
But Sal, you heard something about Diablo 3.
Something about teeth.
You did what?
Sal, tell us all about this power leveling on Diablo 3 that you heard about, that you told us about.
This became a story for some fucking reason, but there was a Diablo player that I follow on Twitch named DatMods. He was able to power level from a level character from 1 to 70 in under 2 minutes.
65 seconds.
Is it 65 seconds?
65 seconds.
Holy shit.
And was this done by way of cheating?
So, yeah, I'm still going to therapy. Trying to get over that bro raping.
Dude, I was like, I thought that. I think the process. The process that goes on in my head that went on with my head with that segue is that Sal's already looked at the notes. We just fucking talked about the Diablo news that he was talking about, because he was talking about watching it happen. Because you were talking about a guy that fucking did the caster, the Twitch user that did that. And so I was just like, you know, the fucking Diablo thing you talked about earlier. I was trying to give you a nice segue. And I flubbed it a little bit, but...
Yeah. There was bro raping.
And then Bubba jumps in. You did what? Yeah, but Sal, you gotta, that Diablo we talked about earlier. You did what? Bubba. That's good stuff.
He was throwing fuel on the fire, dude. That's what he was doing.
That's what he's really good at. He's one of the things he's really good at. That's why we employ him here at StrengthCast.
pay him in Grummis and Mayor McCheese.
So, recently, over the last 10 episodes, we've added a new host, or in this case, hostess. The first ever female full-on host of StrengthCast, Caitlin McGuire. And out of she's only been like 3 episodes, and we already have gems from those episodes. Mm-hmm. One of which was a hidden track. For some of you, you might be hearing this for the first time, because let's face it, you know, 1 out of 50 people listen all the way to the very end. To hear the hidden tracks. And maybe 10 of those people didn't realize they were there. Now they're going to look. But this is Caitlin and her boyfriend Andrew talking about Caitlin's first ever experience playing tabletop Dungeons & Dragons. And it kind of fits in with the previous clip about bro rape.
Yeah, just it's a little bit. Your mom and dad's D&D, dude.
So here's
messed up.
Caitlin's first Dungeons and Dragons experience.
So we come into this town,
mid maxing,
and he just goes and he's like, "I'm gonna start a fire." Don't just start a fire. Just like explore. No, I'm gonna start a fire. I'm gonna burn the town down. And his girlfriend goes to the beach, and she's like, "Are there shells? Roll it up. Yeah, there's shells. Okay, I'm gonna cut them. I'm gonna make arrows." So she sits on the beach and is just making arrows the whole time.
Made it boring.
Mind
it made
you,
it real boring.
I am the only person who actually did something like useful. Yeah. Yeah. I said, I'm going to go to the tavern and see what's happening there, and I'm going to ask about.
Are there girls there?
As if they are.
Andrew.
Do them.
His first move was, is there a dog? Roll the die. Yeah, there's a dog. I'm going to go rape it.
What the fuck? Were you, like, on something? You don't have to admit it, but...
Yeah. No, I think he followed it first, actually. And
yeah,
then
I followed it
down
I followed
dark
it
alley.
For a bit, and then it made the wrong move, and I pounced.
Well, he's raping the dog while the other guy's burning down a store, and then the other guy assassinated the store owner, and I'm in the tavern, like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, and then the guards come, and the girl who was on the beach doing nothing... comes and slits their throats.
The guards?
Slits the guard's throat, and they kill her. And then the DM at that point was just like, nope. Takes everything and, like, flips it up and walks away.
Rage quit.
He got
so... yeah. That was not awkward.
Disclaimer. No dogs were raped in the filming of this show.
No animals were harmed in the making of Strength Cast. That was the Hidden Track to episode 34. And that was... Caitlin and Andrew talking about her first D&D experience. Yeah. Dog rape.
Went from bro rape to dog rape.
And the DM the DM rage quit the first time she'd ever played D&D. That's an accomplishment, I would say. For this next clip here, we're going reaching a little far back.
Going on the way back machine.
The way back machine, back to one of our top downloaded episodes ever. Episode 10. We had a guest on, a very lovely lady, Gamer Music Erin.
And now a school teacher, mind you.
Well, she was, yeah, she was in school. She was a school teacher, yeah. She teaches Spanish. How appropriate.
Think of Peggy Hill with a heavy southern accent.
Except way hotter. But, we had her on the show, and she was a real good sport. We had a lot of fun. Very memorable. And she did a gamer music quiz that she had done on... Gaming on podcast a couple times previously, and we went in with expectations of being completely destroyed by her, and why don't you listen to the one song that I was particularly kicking myself about? Let's listen to what happens during this particular part of the quiz.
Drink that coffee. Listen to this. The sweet sounds of Sam fucking raging so hard.
Avoid like the plague.
If Emery was there, he would have got that because I'm pretty sure he played all.
Yeah, he played all the fables. Yeah.
Okay, so that's
fair enough. I never played
any
of the
first
fables,
one.
So it's fair enough.
Let's go on to the second one. Okay, is that cool? Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
This
oh
is
my God.
Shining Force, right? No?
Oh my God, it sounds like Tactics.
It sounds like a Super Nintendo game.
No.
Damn it. let's see.
I'm going to play it. Let's play it one more time.
Okay.
Let's play it one more time. No, I think
is this a ogre battle?
From what is that? I don't even know.
What
that
know ogre battle?
No, she doesn't know ogre battle. I'm
it's
gonna
from,
what?
It's from Nintendo 64.
Mm.
I've heard it before. That's what's pissing me off. Because I know I've heard it before.
Conker's Bad Fur Day.
No, it's not Conker's Bad Fur Day. Okay, it's an RPG. That I know for sure. It's an RPG. It has to be an RPG. Can that be our hint? Is it
Pokemon Snap?
Shut up.
I know this. I know it's one of them.
Can we get a hint, Aaron? Because, I mean...
Yeah, it was Nintendo 64. I don't know what else.
You played as an animal. Conker's Bad Fur Day.
God damn it, Brian.
Wait. Is it Gex?
Gex was on 64.
Yeah, sure it was.
PlayStation 1 game.
Fool, they released an N64 version of that game.
You played as an...
They did have... There was a Gex 64 that I played, but that's not it.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to fail out of this music quiz, but I will get... I will...
Damn it.
I will take that with me to my grave. I was over Sal on that one.
You played as an animal. Pokemon Snap?
God damn it, Sal.
See, I already guessed that. Sal's... All Sal can do is bite my guesses. That's all he could do.
And it was sci-fi.
Sci-fi.
With an animal in it.
Shitballs. Son of a bitch. There's going to be a lot of cursing in this quiz.
I think
Aaron's saying time is up, I think.
What was it?
I'm going to punch myself in the face right
now. I'm really sad that it was Star Fox 64.
Oh my god, god damn it. Yes, it was Star Fox. It wasn't an RPG. It was fucking Star Fox.
We've established I know nothing of Star
Fox. I know, but I played Star Fox.
Did you do a
man? And it only gets harder from here, guys. Sorry to say.
All right, so we're gonna get stumped.
The way it works, though, I'll probably get the hardest one.
We're gonna offer
three more times. We're gonna be fucked. Okay. Pardon my French.
Gamer music, Aaron. The next one, then, okay. Yes. Dumped us on fucking Star Fox. It was unbelievable. Like, I mean, you heard the rage in my voice.
For sure, I thought that was very Shiny disappointed. Force or something like that.
But that was a lot of fun when we did that. There was like four other songs or music pieces in that segment. On episode 10, and it was a lot of fun. There was plenty of. I don't think maybe we got one, and
that was Bubba just guessing.
And it was just Bubba just guessing, as you may have noticed in that clip of Bubba fucking guessing constantly, telling him to shut up so he can think. We've had a lot of really cool guests on the show, and we obviously can't fit them all in this best of. That's why it's volume one. But one of our favorite repeat guests comes to us from all the way from Athens, Greece, and that's Chris Christodoulou. He is a composer, and he's done music. He did music for Risk of Rain. And it's called Wonderlust Adventures, I think was the episode.
That's gonna come out.
Episode 29. This is he was a delight. He was always fun to talk to. He was our first, like, not in this clip, but like on episode, I think it was 11, when Risk of Rain was coming out or just come out and won awards. He came on our show, and it was the first time I think we really got to feel like we were interviewing somebody that in the game industry that connected us.
Especially considering he had won so many awards, and that game that he made the composed the music for won a lot of awards.
Yeah, and and the Risk of Rain soundtrack and the Wonderlust soundtrack are both available on Spotify, which to me. Makes it feel more
legit.
Legit, yeah.
Yeah,
legit.
You get your music.
And it's good. It's good music. So he kind of took us by surprise in episode 29. He kind of went on a little rant. So this is Chris Tadulu
on his thoughts on Harry Potter.
Chris Tadulu on geek culture.
But that's, maybe movies are a good sort of source of inspiration also, but, you know, the main things are, just getting down and sitting down and reading a little a bit, that being science, fiction books or science books or whatever, you know, it doesn't have to be fiction or non-fiction, that's what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha. I
mean, whatever, but just, you know, get new stuff in, basically, get new knowledge or new styles, or, you know, but that don't necessarily have to do with music.
Cool. And what's your favorite Harry Potter book? No, I'm
kidding. I've not read or seen. I've seen the first one and I thought, that's a movie for kids. I mean, it's a good movie for kids. I'm not interested. And then I saw, I'm not even ashamed to say, I mean, you guys should be ashamed, not you. I mean, whoever is listening to this and has watched Harry Potter and is like above 25 years old, what are you doing with your life?
What do you mean? Hello.
That's awesome.
I'm kidding. I mean, it's, I can get the fascination behind it. It was just not for me, you know. Just,
Lord of the Rings, not Harry Potter. Yeah, come on.
I haven't seen the Hobbit films, and I won't. I mean, I've seen half of the first one, and then I thought, wow, this is bullshit. I'm not interested. I don't, and that's the thing that I really have. If you don't mind me, like, getting a bit wound up.
No, right now. What grinds Chris's gears?
Yeah, what really grinds your gears?
I have a thing with geek culture, man, because it's really like, it's such a closed loop nowadays. We get this thing like, everybody needs to know everything. I need to have seen the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I need to have seen all the Avenger movies, and I need to have seen all the whatever TV shows, and I don't need to do that. I don't need to be in this loop that geek culture is closed in. I don't care about it. I'm gonna see what I wanna see, and I'm gonna like what I wanna see, but I don't need to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles just so I can bitch about it on the internet. I don't need to see
that. One was terrible, by the way.
But you've seen it, right? No. Just kidding.
I've seen it, unfortunately, because I was I remember the old one, like from the 90s or something, fondly.
Yeah.
I thought,
as we
I'll
all
give it a shot, because, you know, I mean, it's the Turtles, I might give it a shot, and it was like horrible. It was,
oh yeah, it was so bad.
I haven't seen it yet.
Don't watch it.
The worst thing I've seen, yeah.
I saw it on an airplane back from Tokyo, and it didn't, and it was just, I don't even think there were subtitles. I think the subtitles were Japanese. It was no sound, and it was still terrible.
Well, Megan Fox cheapens things.
Yeah, she does.
You know what? I'll go as far as say,
those thumbs. Yeah. No thumbs for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right.
But the thing is, you know, this, I mean, geek culture is really stuck in this loop where, you know, I don't enjoy opening my RSS feed and seeing articles on geek sites that say the last night's episode of so-and-so was horrible. It should have been, first of all, don't write it what it should have been, because you're a journalist and you don't make TV. So just fucking shut up. You have to be. Why do we need articles about every episode of everything and every moment?
It is annoying. And
I don't know why we need it, because of the clickbait, but come on.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's pretty bad.
Get out of
probably a terrible time to talk about my almost internship at Nerd Reactor.
No, I mean, it's fine. We need people to write stuff, and good people are writing stuff, but they are also stuck in this thing. You know, they don't have a choice.
It's hard. It's
they don't
hard.
Have a choice not to do that.
It's hard.
I can't imagine it being fun. I can't imagine have to wake up every day and having seen all the TV shows and write a post about the episodes. I can't imagine being that person. And how do you get new stuff in afterwards? How do you,
reading articles like that. Yeah.
Do they read new books? Do they, learn new stuff? I don't know. It feels like they don't. It feels like, TV shows are made based on other TV shows.
Yeah, and I think if you watch everything, it kind of makes you jaded towards everything, and you end up hating The Last of Us.
That's funny.
What about Chris's rant there about geek culture?
What I came away from that conversation is he loves Harry Potter.
You heard it here. Chris Christodoulou loves Harry Potter. He was just such a great guest. I remember being so hyped before and after interviewing him for the first time. Not just because he's, an amazing composer and works on video games. And I'm a huge fan of video game music in general. But because, he was, halfway across the world. Mm-hmm. And we were able to connect with him over that long distance, and we're friends now. I would say that we're friends on Twitter, and he's been on the show twice. He suggested games for one of our other shows, all kinds of stuff. And it was just so out in left field and random, like. Because, this is such a nerdy podcast. Yeah. It's about being a geek. It's about being a nerd. And he was such a great guest the first time. And although, like all of us, we're slightly nervous because it was the first time we all hung out, essentially, online. He got comfortable, because we were all kind of comfortable with each other, because the first time went so well, and that rant was just so, it was great. It was like, fuck Harry Potter.
But Lord of the Rings movies, oh, that's bullshit.
And then that was like, whoa, dude, hold up, what's going on? You didn't say you were kidding that time. Your zinger at the end, I think.
The zinger at the end, dude. It was weird the way it ended up, because it's making a segue to this next this next clip that we loved. Andrew really does not like The
Last of Us. Yeah, so that's where that joke came from. He's like, you end up hating The Last of Us. So this next bit here, it's going to be our last clip. It's going to be a little bit longer than the other ones. And
just because Andrew had...
Dude.
This hatred was so deep and so...
The whole segment was like 40 minutes of him talking about how much he hated it. Just the part about him talking about how much he hated Last of Us and why he hated it. And of course, sprinkled in there, us debunking all of his hatred and even getting him to admit a bunch of things that he liked about it. So here's Last of Us, Spike's rant on The Last of Us.
Yeah, real connection with that.
There's going to be a giant spoiler warning on this. However, there's one thing that I want to get out of this, because I fucking played the game 10 hours straight for this shit, and I'm not regretting it, but it took its toll, and I want to know your opinion on the ending.
Oh my fuck. All right.
And then we're done.
The cannibal ending, or cannibal part, was okay. Maybe I'll give this game a shot. At a certain point, you reach your goal. Because the whole goal of the game is you're trying to get Ellie, an immune girl, to the disease, to this facility, so they can manufacture a cure, taking us out of the apocalypse, basically. You get there. Somehow the girl that couldn't take Ellie to her facility beat you there. Oh, she had a bullet in her. Is why she couldn't get there. Yet somehow she beat you there. Somehow she was already at the facility before you. Didn't think about that, did you, assholes? He was somehow already there. Fireflies
picked her up.
Fireflies are all dead. We went to the facility, saw they were all dead.
No, we were. You're killing fireflies in the end. Those are all fucking fireflies.
I know that, but the black chick who says take her to this place.
They came back and got her. Who the fuck cares?
How did they get there before you?
Who the fuck cares?
I care. Get to the ending.
We had to throw the spoiler warning on this. Let's make it all worth right, it. Let's yes. talk about the ending.
So you get there, and once again, you find yourself in a water situation. So you got to find yourself a pallet. You get your pallet, you get onto the bus. The bus falls. You got Ellie drowns. You're trying to wake her up. You get captured by fireflies. Okay, I'm in. We'll see where this goes. Then you ask about Ellie, and she says, "Fuck off, not your concern." And you're like, "But you know."
You wake up, yeah.
Yeah, I want to see her. No, that's too bad. We got to pull something out of her brain to make a cure. And you're like, "But that'll kill her." No shit, Sherlock. But okay. Then they tell her, okay, yeah, but it's none of your concern. Just leave. And then they basically tell you, if you don't leave, they're going to fucking murder your face.
And but that's so the way everything is in
but this now, society. Yeah, in this society, you should expect that by now. But not from the good guys. I think they had made it up.
I don't think there are any good guys.
Oh, that's the point, yeah, is that it's kind of morally, it's an ambiguous area.
Yeah, okay. The lines have blurred or whatever, but they've established that Ellie talking about them, you know, they basically make it
hard. They were misled.
They were misled, yeah. So I'm like, oh, fuck, dude, these guys are assholes, too. So I'm like, all right, of course I'm going to have to kill these guys.
Surrounded by assholes.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by assholes.
Keep going.
Sorry. Colonel Sanders. What was it going? Okay, and then there is a really badass part, and this is the most badass part Joel, I think, has in the whole game, is when he fucking shoots that guy. I don't got time for this. Fucking shoots this guy's fucking dick off. to tell really him where good. L was. I enjoyed the fuck out of that part. Anyway, so you kill the fuck out of everyone. You walk in there, and if I'd have known that there was no choices in this one, I would have killed the doctors better. But I literally just pop, 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 got him, got Ellie.
I only killed the one surgeon with his scalpel. That was it.
Really? I killed them all.
I just shanked because they were just like...
Oh, fuck, like, dude.
I killed him with the flamethrower.
Yeah.
I never used the flamethrower. That's the one thing that disappointed me.
Because you thought, this is going to come in handy later.
Yes!
And you didn't want to waste your gas tank.
No, I didn't.
And so I'm like, damn, I only have this much left. I shouldn't use that.
That was a surprise, bitch. Yeah,
I'll give you that, because I did use it, and I use it on bloaters. Bloaters fucking are awesome to kill with those.
I would have if I didn't know, but go ahead.
So you know. So when you go back for the replay value, right?
Yeah.
So you get her, you're on the way out, and you see the girl who put you to task. You shoot her in the stomach, and she drops. You put Ellie in the car, and she says, no, just go. We'll forget this ever happened. We'll stop looking for you. No, you'll just come back. And Joel shoots from the fucking dome. You drive off in the fucking sunset together, and at this point, you've gone up to all these, all right, this is the end of the game, this is the end of the game, this is the end of the game, and every time it's turned out, no, you gotta go further, you gotta go further, you gotta go further. So, you kill her, you get in the car, you're driving, she wakes up, and is like, what happened? Well, the fireflies, like, oh, they got 10 or 12 other people who are like you. They've given up looking for a cure. And then, you drive on, your car breaks down.
And lies to her.
Yeah, lies to her. And you guys are walking. So you think, all right, now we're starting another part of the mission. I'm going to teach you how to play guitar. Pointless exposition.
That was earlier on the overpass before the hospital, by the way.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay. All right, but either way, it's just pointless exposition because he says keep up or something like that.
Yeah, they're just talking. He's reminiscing about hiking with his daughter.
Yeah, it's weird. Sarah. It's weird banter between that. We're getting a throwback to Sarah, his daughter, who... During that opening cinematic was awesome, but the dazed Sarah walking around the house part of the game was fucktarded in and of itself. So you go through all that, and then you climb a mountain, and then a cinematic starts. So you're thinking, okay, something badass is going to happen. Nope. Ellie goes. And he's like, wait, you coming? Joel told you you're coming, Ellie? And Ellie goes, tell me the truth.
Well, no, first she says that she's been through some shit.
Yeah, I've been through some shit.
And then she asks for the truth.
Yeah, it's like, tell me that anything, swear that anything you told me was true.
And the last thing about the fireflies
was true. Yeah, well, anyway, Sam, you can say it better. But no, in a nutshell, she asks if anything he had told her about the fireflies experience in that, you know, the room where he killed every fucking buddy was true or not, and then asks him to swear, and he goes... I swear. And then in a very like, Team America, World Police, promise me you can never die and I'll fuck you right here and now. I can never die, I swear. He goes, I swear. And she goes, okay. Credits, dude. Are you fucking out of your goddamn mind?
I think you were more traumatized by the ending than anything else in the entire game.
For somebody who reads so much into these other movies and shit and other stuff, like reads between the lines, he didn't read between the lines there.
Read between the lines?
She knows he's lying to her.
Then that he did something fucked up. That makes the entire explanation moot and pointless. She didn't need to ask that because she would have been known about all the other shit beforehand.
But see, she's still a kid. She still needs some sort of reassurance.
Really? Because like halfway through the game, she was stabbing motherfuckers in the throat.
That doesn't matter. When it comes to somebody,
she grew up without the moral compasses you and I grew up with because she was born during the infection. Apocalypse.
Any child, we're always going to attach to somebody who they see as somebody who's morally better than you. No matter their...
She trusts Joel. Yeah.
Yes.
And she wants to be
lied. Not enough not to ask fucking questions. Even though the entire time he's telling her to shut the fuck up and not be seen.
Andrew, sometimes I just want you to lie to me.
I didn't even read into it as far as whether or not she realized he was lying or not.
I don't think it mattered.
It was not important to me. The takeaway that I took from it was, hey, this is... it was more along the lines of like why Joel did what he did, right? He had this girl that he was entrusted with her care, right? And he basically let the world burn so that she would live. Like he threw away a cure for this apocalypse so that she could live. And my take on that was, you know, this guy had lost so much. He lost his daughter and he lost his family and all of these things were taken from him, and he's like, this relationship that I forged with this child over the period of the last, however long the game takes place over, you know, a couple of years or whatever. And he just says, this is something that I've sacrificed enough. You know, this is my family now. We care for each other, and I'm going to take something back from the world
When I was looking at it, when I was playing it, I thought more of akin to Rick Grimes fucking losing it and then slowly coming back from
I already told you that was the dumbest fucking choice for the Walking Dead series anyway. I just caught up with that.
Let's not get into the Walking Dead.
But no, my thing is this, is you don't drive a character one direction and then at the end just throw him on his fucking ear and turn him another way. You made him this guy the whole time. I understand the whole beauty in the heart and the whole, I'm not going to let them butcher her to make a cure. Got that. You could have left that as a beautiful tale with them driving off into the sunset.
So essentially, the story would have been relatively fine if they didn't do that little bit at the end that you did not like. Yes,
I didn't like that.
You didn't like the fact that Joel lied to Ellie.
Not that he lied. That
she asked him to lie.
Yeah, the last fucking scene of this god-awful shitstorm is this. Okay. Credits. Are you shitting balls on my dick?
I wanna make sure that everybody is aware that what Spike is referring to as a shitstorm has the highest Metacritic score.
One of the highest.
One of the highest of the last few years.
And where are you getting your shit? Rotten Tomatoes? I mean, it's just what I'm saying is this is
general consensus is this is a 99.9%
Okay. There has
these
to be.
People like movie without, 3 and
without
movie
the
5.
Fifth dentist that does not recommend Polydent, you would not have the other four.
Yeah, basically. I validate your opinion.
He's trying. What Samson's trying to say is that you're being a contrarian asshole.
I'm not disliking this. Just dislike it. I was thoroughly disappointed by
it. He's like the comic book guy. Worst episode ever.
But no, no. I realize my general consensus thing is different than others, and usually it's contrary because I view things differently.
Dude. I value your opinion because you always go really concise and really deep into analyzing these characters. But that ending scene, you didn't analyze at all. You just took it at face value.
Yeah,
and fucking said it was shit.
We just had that scene in the fucking car. He lied to her. We didn't need the next scene after 5 minutes of validation,
though,
with the character to that. Then do it in the fucking car scene, because the next scene is literally the car breaks down, then you walk, you climb up a mountain, and then that happens. There was no shooting, no violence, no crafting of tools, no fucking moving anything. It was just walking. Just walking, and then that scene. You could have easily done that in the fucking car. You didn't need that. And if it would have ended in the car, by the end of that, it's like, Joel, are you telling me the truth? And he goes, of course, Ellie. Go back to sleep. And it would have been just, it would have been beautiful. It would have been perfect then. But going that extra mile was too fucking
ruined rushed. It for you. Ruined the bridge it too far.
You know,
I respect his opinion. Mm-hmm. It is completely wrong, but
can you see my point? It's like saying this. It's beaten off a dead horse.
Beaten off a dead horse.
It's not gonna come.
I would have been satisfied if it cut off in the truck, but the bit at the end did not ruin it for me. In fact, it gave me more feels, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
What feels? That was the.
You didn't get any feels because you're fucking dead inside.
No, I got feels. I got feels when his daughter died. I was almost in tears because there was tears running down his face, her face. It was an emotional scene.
So the game fucking gave you feels.
Yeah, and then 20 years later, and that was it.
Well, then you should have stopped right there. I was like, oh, he checked out. He was like, no, this is unbelievable. It makes no sense.
I went for it. I went on that ride.
An entire world outbreak of virus wouldn't last more than 5 years. No, it could last
20 years, but the amount of decay the world was in 20 years, and yet we still have super futuristic soldiers with eye scanners and shit of that nature, yet we haven't been able to rebuild the fucking wall. Walls are still made up of found objects. You know, is my thing. It's just you can't make a post-apocalyptic Road Warrior kind of thing and yet have some people be Blade Runner. It was...
what are you talking about? That's like a total fucking...
Whatever.
Every
we're like done with this shit.
I don't think we're going to change this young man's mind.
My whole thing was to change you, fucking crazy ass.
No.
Not going to change your mind.
Going to happen.
Us crazy and the 97% of the people that thought it was a good game. Yeah, but
the 97% of people like you are why there's 5 scary movies. And there are movie 43. These awful fucking movies.
Hey, the first scary movie was amazing.
Yeah, first two were amazing. And then they took the Wayans brothers out of it and did this. This game is Scary Movie without the Wayans brothers.
Okay, so you heard it here first. The world would be better with more Wayans brothers.
With more Wayans brothers, dude.
You've made my point.
let's move on to the mystery.
So let's. No, no, we're not. Trailer. We're not quite there yet.
Wrong.
We have to. Sam, why don't
you? So Andrew and his rants. You'll probably hear him a lot more on the show as time goes on.
Well, that was episode 5, by the way, The Last of Us, where he ranted. And that was about 1/3 of his entire rant. So if you want to hear the rest of it, if you want to be enraged by the rest of it, I mean, that was kind of blasphemous. I mean, I thought that maybe the worst person would be someone that didn't like it because they just couldn't take the fear or something and couldn't play it. But he just downright just didn't like it.
Yeah, and then me and his friend Leo, we play a Destiny. We're grouping together, and we finally nailed down, like, with serious facts why Andrew is the way he is. It's
with Spike.
He was raised by his mom by herself, pretty much. So he grew up with the way women dealt with shit and how they had their dealings with people in general.
And his time of the month.
Yeah, and his time of the month. But him also having the logic of a guy, it doesn't mix right. Because women are really emotional and guys are more logic thinking and making decisions. So Andrews is like a weird amalgamation of women's emotions mixed in with dude logic. And it doesn't mesh well. So we figured out Andrew's a chick with the dude thinking. So his menstrual cycles doesn't let him think straight. That's why his opinions are the way they are. And it was funny, though, because I think he kind of realized it himself, too. kind of let it sink in. Like, oh, yeah, I'm a chick. Meanwhile, this was while we were playing Destiny, so there you go. Another game that he really didn't like. And we have deep thoughts while playing Destiny.
That'll be saved for another time, I think. But yeah, I mean, that was one of that was a pivotal point, I think, in Strength in Gaming or Strength Cast history, because that his hatred and contrarianism was pretty strong, and it really entertained the listeners. One, I mean, I don't know, people listening now would agree that a lot of people thought that was like their favorite episode at the time, because of the five, it had the most passionate discussion about something to date.
We're still waiting on his rewrite too, so
yeah, fucking Spike, there's still no rewrite. We're 40 episodes in now, that was 35 episodes ago, still no rewrite. You're looking at over a year here now at this point, people. But
I wonder if he works so slow because he's union. I'm union.
But and it was a fun episode. It was Spike's first episode too, the first time he was on, the first time Bubba met him. A lot of that was, you might have noticed that a lot of that was in there. So yeah, I think it was a huge turning point for Strength Cast, and it got a lot of downloads. It got a couple hundred downloads because Last of Us, the title was Last of Fuss, episode 5, and I mean, I had just finished marathoning Last of Us, and Spike had played it previously, like literally as Bubba showed up that day for the recording. He was watching the credits roll on Last of Us after I finished playing it. So
it's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah, we've been doing this for a while, and I really enjoyed making this episode. It really reminded me why we do this. We've laughed pretty hard tonight, I would say, since. There's always a lot of laughter on the podcast, but I think we brought a lot of that back. Hopefully this was entertaining for everybody. And plenty of episodes out there to listen to. If you like this episode, I promise you it's not like a preview for like Scary Movie 5. You didn't see all the funniest shit in the trailer. Any one of these episodes, you go back and you listen to any one of these episodes that we mentioned in this Best of Volume 1, and you'll be thoroughly entertained all the way through.
Yep.
Speaking of the name of this episode, Best of Volume 1, we're going to have plenty more of these because this is... This best of list, I could have put so much more. Yeah, I could have put so much more. It was really hard. In fact, we had some tough decisions at the beginning of this.
Plus all the hidden tracks that we didn't hit up on. Usually the hidden tracks is like the funniest stuff that...
Yeah, we did throw one in there.
Not on mic, just recorded.
But yeah, because I'm always into saying shit. But yeah, dude, I mean, go back. And if you haven't listened to these episodes, listen to them. If you have and you forgot to miss the hidden track at the end, the super secret, top secret hidden track of the week at the end, go back and listen to some of them. I would say 90% of those are pretty fucking hilarious. But I want to thank everybody for listening. We love you guys.
Yeah. 40 episodes, maybe in another 40 we can do this again and have funnier bits for you guys.
Yeah. I'll be impressed if shit gets funnier. I mean, we kind of proved it though. I mean, all the way up through from fucking, well, Last of Us, episode 5, all the way up to episode 40 with the Diablo bro rape. It I think it progressed pretty well.
Yeah.
So,
you can tell we're improving slightly.
Slightly over time. We hit about episode 5,000.
Yeah.
It'll be good. Or 9,000.
Over 9,000.
So, yeah. Make sure to hit us up on Twitter at STR underscore... STR underscore cast. This wouldn't be an episode if I didn't fuck a good episode if I didn't fuck up the outro. Visit us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/strngaming. You can find me on Twitter at STR underscore Samson, SAMSON. I'm always available. I'll tweet back. We want your feedback. If you love us, please tell us. If you hate us, definitely tell us, because you'll open up some troll shit if you do that. But you can find Sal on Twitter also.
Slave0187.
And I just want to point out that the zero is spelled out. I didn't really think about that before, but it is spelled out. But you can also find links to all of our Twitters and everything on, if you look at the info on this episode, on the podcast app that you use, except iTunes, because iTunes sucks and it won't work. But you can also go to strcast.com if you're a plebeian Apple user, because there's a website that's got all the info and all the links, posters and everything, for everybody. This also wouldn't be a StrengthCast episode if it wasn't any Apple hate, so I had to throw that in there at the end. But yeah, so Sal, what do we say?
Apple sucks.
Yeah.
And like with all
things in life, keep your pimp hands strong and keep strength in gaming. Later, you fucking nerds.